Hey there, it's the Pete for the Pete podcast from thepete.com. Let's see, I'm recording this the afternoon of September 6th, I believe. And yeah, this week I wanted to talk about how we as a species and certainly as an American culture, we are slow to learn how powerful we are. So for decades, we have just been largely unable to accept that global warming slash climate change slash, you know, all kinds of related symptoms are our fault. You know, it's been, you know, the longest time people have been saying, oh, it's not, you know, yeah, global warming's happening, but it's not us. We didn't do it. And before that, it was global warming wasn't even happening, even though there were scientists and science that said it was. But, you know, we fought it on every level. We just were convinced, you know, we could not be so great as to change our planet as a global unit. Yet finally we have most of us have come to accept that we are capable of changing our, you know, entire planet in you know, by our own actions. And so that got me thinking, what if global warming and climate change isn't the only thing that the only change that we've forced on our planet? You know, back in the 70s, when the oil companies knew or had science pointing in the direction of global warming being a thing, the average schmuck on the street wouldn't have known one way or the other. It would have been like, that's crazy. You know, that's impossible. I mean, this was before the ozone layer, you know, was affected before we knew that it was affected. And so we wouldn't have had a clue what was going on, the average schmuck. You know, we would have just been like, what are you talking about? You know? And so it concerns me that, you know, this could be happening right now, again, but unbeknownst to most or even possibly all of us, we might be affecting our planet in a global way just right under our noses without realizing it, because we are just so, you know, oblivious to how everything is connected and how we, you know, cause ripples through that, you know, connected chain, you know, that holds everything together, or that is connected to everything. And so it just worries me, you know, and I look around and I see what's going on, and I you know, obviously, the extreme storms that I've been talking about, that we've been experiencing, are part of the global warming climate change thing, and thankfully Gaston has fizzled, and Hermine did some damage and killed a few people, but the damage wasn't as bad as it could have been, so all things considered, that's good news. But that's tangential to what I'm talking about right now. What are some other things that are going on in the world that suggest humans are more, or the humans might be doing more damage to the planet Earth? I look at, there was an earthquake in Oklahoma the other day, and it was like a 5.6 earthquake. Last time I checked, there were no active faults through the center of North America. And so that is worrisome, that such a big earthquake would be felt from North Texas to, like, the Dakotas. You know, that's a huge swath of land. And with no active faults around the area, you gotta wonder, why is that happening? How is that happening? And it turns out there is some science that explains what's going on, or at least suggests what's may be going on. in my opinion, what's probably going on, which is fracking. Hydraulic fracturing is what it's called. It was invented by a guy to get at oil and natural gas that is sort of mixed in with rock, sort of trapped in solid rock. And because a few years ago, actually many years ago, we were running low on easy-to-get oil. You know, the kind of oil you just, you know, basically stick a hole in the ground and you know, and suck up through a straw, a la the milkshake scene from There Will Be Blood. You know, and, you know, there used to be so much oil in North America that you would literally, you know, step in a puddle of it because it was just seeping up through the ground. But we got rid of all that. We sucked all that out of the ground. Now there's no oil that's just like, oh, hey, look at this. There's no oil like that anymore. It's all not that easy to get to. And so this guy came along and came up with a way to get at it by squirting chemicals originally and then less and fewer and fewer chemicals and more just water into rock and shale, and which I think is a kind of rock, and stuff like that. And the idea is that you pulverize with water the solid of the rock, I guess, and you then release the tiny amount of liquid oil and or gas, natural gas. And so, you know, sounds like a great plan, except for the fact that when you do that on a large enough scale to make your entire country energy independent, which is what fracking has allowed America to become, energy independent, you know, it makes sense that you're going to destabilize some other things like, I don't know, tectonic plates. And, you know, at least that seems to be what's happening. And I think it's childish for us to look at that and for grown adults and grown scientists, to look at this evidence and just assume that, oh, well, no, we can't, we need to wait until there's more science to back this up, before we stop fracking. You know, there's tons of evidence that suggests fracking itself is bad for the environment just on its face, like pollution wise. But then to turn around and say, well, we better wait until we have a really good reason to stop fracking, it just seems ignorant and stupid. And I say, I know stupid is kind of like saying ignorant, but I just think it bears repeating the concept. So, yeah, especially since we've proven that we can affect the planet on a global scale, it's disturbing to me that we're still not mature enough to realize that there are things like this that we do that could easily be causing a global problem, a problem on a global scale. Maybe not in a literal sense of like fracking in North America affects, you know, seismic activity in you know, in Asia, but on a global structural level, this is a problem. You know, and we need to be aware of that we can cause this level of damage, and we need to start acting more responsibly. I always hate the cautionary science tales because I feel like, you know, science itself should be able to watchdog what it does. But it's less the structure and concepts of science and more the humans who are greedy, corrupt, horrible people, sometimes, who practice science and will bend it to their will, bend the results or interpret the results to what they want them to be. So, until next time, please, you know, consider, you know, the things you do and the things we do as a people, and maybe companies do, corporations do, and governments do. Think about the big picture. See if you can follow the ripple effects out across all the aspects of humanity, not just culture, but also the globe, the planet, what we're doing to it by jamming, you know, water to where it really isn't normally, you know, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying. We need to be more cautious as a people. But this has been The Pete for The Pete Podcast from thepete.com. Thank you very much for listening. Let me know what you think. See you next week. Bye.